Invite everybody in to begin our work study session at 5:30. Today is May 20th, 2019. It's a session on finance as we zero in on debt. And our finance director, Circo Salmon, is passing out handouts. And they're also online, perhaps? No?
No.
Not the handout.
It's not online.
Good. So.
Okay.
But they're on the TV.
All right, so I just handed out the City of Ferndale's debt. There's something really gross on here. And it is also up on the TV. So I know that some of you guys can't see it, but we have, some of you can. And if you don't have a schedule, you can always come up here and look at this too. I'll refer to it once in a while. Today I'll be talking about types of municipal debt and the debt limits and calculating debt capacity. So as I'm going through this, please ask questions. You know, I'll try to go through it fairly slowly, yet fairly quickly. We have a half hour. Can everybody see that? So you guys will be looking over here first, and this is something different. This is our debt.
This is what we have in front of us.
This is what we have in front of us, the debt, and then this is what I'll be talking about. So there are different types of municipal debt, and the first one is general obligation debt, and that is basically what general obligation. It's secured by the full faith and credit of the local government issuing the debt. So the City of Ferndale is the issuer. And then we have the investors, and they're the bond owners. And if there's a default, the bond owners can claim all the general income. So that's all our tax revenue, all our property taxes. This is based on tax revenue. So does that make sense? I hear a resounding yes. Okay. So then we have two different kinds of general obligation bond. We have the limited tax general obligation bond. It's also called the Councilmanic, and I'm sure you've heard of that. It's not what you think it is. It is a non-voted debt, and that is issued by the council. Does that make sense? Because there's
non-voted by the public, but voted upon by the council.
Right, exactly. So then we have the voted debt, and that is unlimited tax general obligation bonds. And that is voted by the public. So you need 60% of the voters to approve. The voters need to be a turnout of at least 40% of the most recent election. Does that make sense? And then the debt service payments, they're paid from excess levy on property taxes. So we do have, if you look at your debt schedule, and it's also up here, the very first part is general obligation debt. This is what we're talking about. It's limited tax general obligation debt is the very first part from, let's see, line four, row four to row 16. The unlimited tax general obligation debt, that's the voted debt, and that is, the police station, I believe, is voted debt.
It's a library.
Library, sorry, yes, library, row 15, and that one is the voted debt.
Should that say UT, or is that also LT?
Well, it is a voted debt that I think we had, this is before I got here, but we had two different bonds put together. Part of it is the library, part of it's voted, and part of it is not. But it was all in one bond, so it's considered a limited LT deal. But part of it is voted. Okay, so far everybody's good? Okay. Then we have revenue debt. And if you look on your schedule again, it's row 18 through 22. And revenue debt, it is unlike general obligation debt. It relies on taxation. It doesn't, which relies on taxation. The revenue debt is guaranteed by specific revenues. So, for instance, a wastewater treatment plant that will be paid by the debt service will be paid by ratepayers. So it is not based on our taxes. So all of revenue debt, basically they are your projects, water, sewer, storm projects that are paid by ratepayers. Okay? Which part? All of it?
No, just water projects are paid by?
Revenue debt, by ratepayers. Yeah. So that's kind of the way to think about revenue debt is it's paid by water, sewer, storm.
So water revenue pays for water, sewer pays for sewer, and
exactly.
Stormwater pays for stormwater?
Exactly.
Almost like
right.
A business.
It is. It's an enterprise. They're called enterprise funds because they're like a business. And you cannot cross over. Water cannot pay for sewer. Sewer cannot pay for storm. Storm can't pay for water. It all.
Can't pay for streets.
Can't pay for streets. Can't pay for anything.
Well,
like
but you can, because we do it frequently, we take a portion of a street project and pay for the water lines that go underneath that street project and the sewer lines that go underneath that street project. And so, in that sense, there is a portion of street projects that are paid for by those specific funds.
Yeah,
because it applies to that utility.
Yeah, costs that are directly attributable
correct.
To the installation of that water main or sewer main
right.
are appropriate to be paid by that fund as part of a road project. So yes,
right.
but only those costs that are clearly identified and attributable to the utility can be paid for with utility funds.
Right,
yeah.
right. No, I understand that. But we also have, and correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere in our policies that when we decide we're going to do a road, we are always going to look to upgrade and modernize the infrastructure underneath. Meaning, Ferndale Terrace, for example, we're not going to rip up Ferndale Terrace without going in, doing water, sewer, and storm at the same time.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. But in not every location do we end up having to do that.
Correct. No, I understand. But that there is a portion of these big road projects that we get paid for out of these funds.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we have special assessment debt. So those are local, it's a local improvement district, and these are the road improvements that benefit just a specific subset of the population. So let's say there's some improvement, road improvement for, a certain part of a road, and it benefits those people only, the property owners will pay an assessment on that property. And we do have one, and it is the very last one on your debt schedule, and that is an LID. It was on LeBounty, and maybe Kevin knows more about what was put in at that time. The LeBounty.
It was before I was here, but
yeah.
there was an LID that was formed down there that did a road widening project down LeBounty from Sunset to Slater.
To Slater. And I think the thing that this council should know is we obviously don't do those very often, and we haven't done one in over 10 years. They can be very effective. I don't believe that this one was as effective as it could have been. There were some procedural things that if we had to do it again, we might have done it differently. But previous councils felt that they were somewhat burned by the LID and so haven't wanted to do it again. But it can be, when done right, an effective way of leveraging money where the property owners benefit, the city benefits as well. So it's something that council should consider moving forward if the public works and finance directors think that it is a viable option.
Yeah.
It could help at Grandview, possibly.
It possibly could. Grandview would be a good example of a project that funding through an LID or ULID, utility local improvement district, would be an appropriate one, and that is something that we will be investigating in the future. And kind of one of the first steps is that assessment that goes against each one of the properties has to be commensurate with the increase in value that's seen by that property for the installation of whatever the improvement is. So you look at the before condition and the after condition and appraise the difference in value, and you can only assess that much to those properties.
So when you think about with ULID, a property that doesn't have sewer is fairly undevelopable and thereby not as valuable, but all of a sudden sewer is available and you can develop to urban densities, the value could go up significantly because all of a sudden you can put more than a house there. You could put a business park, for example. So there are pretty significant advantages.
So a couple years ago, the city did the water project for the Central City Water System.
Yes.
Was that kind of an assessment obligation?
It's different.
It's different.
But
yeah.
Sort of kind of.
We are assessing property owners, right.
And that's kind of a unique, we did incur debt with that, and you'll see that on your debt schedule. Yeah. I forget what line, at like 20 is the Central City one. And so when we did that project, the Central City had received grant funding for half the cost of the project, and then a 1% loan for the remainder of it. The project was completed under what the estimates were and went forward with the $600,000 of debt being incurred. Now, each one of the properties that was previously connected to that central city system pays a monthly assessment on their water bill. And that's
bi-monthly.
But that's one method that we used, was just modifying the rate structure for the individuals that were within that, rather than going through the more formalized step of an LID or ULID.
But we could have gone that route. It would have just been probably more administrative.
An LID wouldn't have worked because the properties were already supplied with municipal water supply. So there would be no change in value by changing to another municipal water supply, because they have adequate water supply to meet the needs. And so there's no real change in value for those properties.
There's no improvement.
Well, the water is better, but.
Yeah. So the next one.
Go ahead.
So the next one is the ULID, which we were just talking about. But the difference between an LID and a ULID is that you do issue revenue bonds. And again, the issuer is the city. And also it's backed by the revenues from the assessments to the property owners. So it's a little different from the LID, but very similar. Then we have lease purchase agreements, and those are basically leases as you know them to be. They're installment payments. We do have that for our police vehicles. We are leasing them, and we can acquire them in, I believe, 5 years. 4 years. We can own them, or we just continue paying a lease. Then we have certificates of participation costs, but that has nothing to do with the police department. This is basically it's a lease transformed into a marketable security. Okay, what does that mean? I have an example, and we actually, City of Ferndale has four of them. It's basically, if you want to purchase something that's not a huge dollar value, I mean huge, we have one for $473,000, that's huge, but in the big picture, it's not millions of dollars, and it costs a lot to issue bonds. And so the state treasurer, what they did was they got a bond, and they divvied it up amongst different jurisdictions. So now the issuance costs are lower for each jurisdiction, and we're able to purchase equipment and smaller items where, even a conventional banking financing would be too expensive. So it makes it cheaper, and they kind of spread it out throughout different jurisdictions. Does that make sense? And we'll see those on line items. It says local on them, row 7 through 10. And those are our local program purchases. So then we have federal and state loans, and they're loans from the government. And usually these, you know, like Department of Ecology and the Department of Agriculture. And these are usually at a lower interest rate. Not usually, they are at a lower interest rate than a regular bond or a bank loan. Okay, any questions?
Generally, would the city rather have to go out to the bond market or get a loan if it was one of these low interest loans?
We would definitely want to get a federal or state loan because the interest rate would be lower than bond. And of course, it's dependent on what the bond market is, but usually these are lower. So this would definitely be the way to go. And as we look further ahead in a few more slides, this does not go against our debt capacity, so I'll discuss that a little bit later. Oops. Refunding bonds. You've probably heard me talk about refunding bonds. It's just another word for refinancing. So you all know about mortgages that you refinance. It's the same idea. Interest rates fall, and you want to refinance. And we just did that with our water booster station, and we saved $70,000 over the life of the loan. We have another one coming up. It's the one on line 12, and that one we'll be refinancing that or refunding it, and we'll probably save about $120,000 on that. Now, when you refinance, you can't do it at any given time. It has to be, I don't want to go into too much detail, but the bonds have to be callable, and they usually are callable from, you know, anywhere from, you know, 1 year to 10 years. And this one that we're refinancing this year, we're into it 10 years, and this is the first time that it's callable, and we'd be saving $120,000, so it's really worth it to watch for those. Any questions on so far? And we have TANs, BANs, RANs, and GANs. Those are anticipation notes. And those are basically repaid from money derived from the source in anticipation of which they were issued or from any money otherwise legally available. So right now we are planning on going for a GAN and a RAN. So a grant anticipation note, and that is for the working capital. I know I've talked about this. We need working capital for the Thornton overpass, and then we'll be reimbursed by the state. So it's kind of that middle bridge, like a bridge loan for it. And the same with the RAN, that's for the wastewater treatment plant, and that's a revenue anticipation note. So it's from the revenues when we're reimbursed from Department of Ecology.
Like a line of credit?
It's like a line of credit, yeah. There are certain different, there's a line of credit is different, but it's very similar. It's a short-term loan, whereas all the other ones I've talked about are long-term, and this is short-term, usually paid within a year. And you can redo the loan every year for another short-term loan as we need it for the project. So this I will be bringing to council fairly soon so we can have that working capital. Okay. So then we have limits. We have debt limits. We have a constitutional debt limit, and I don't want you to get too caught up on this because we also have statutory debt limits. So non-voted debt, the council manic, we have a debt limit of 1.5% of assessed value. So that is our taxable property, and the assessor is the one who comes up with our assessed value. Does that make sense? Because you're going to remember this one because you'll need it for our next couple of slides. So the total debt constitutional limits, again, is 5%. Cannot be any greater than 5% unless voter approved for another 5%, and that's for water and sewer projects. This is the highest a jurisdiction would ever be allowed. Having said that, we have to go by statutory debt limits, and they are always lower than the constitutional. And they're based on the legislature's perception of what is safe and reasonable amount of debt load to carry. And it is dependent on if you have any crossover or overlapping of taxing districts, like let's say property taxes, we're also paying the county property taxes and citizens are paying the city, there's overlap. And so they don't want you to go over certain limits because now you're paying all these different jurisdictions. So they don't want the taxes to be too high for individuals. So the non-voted is the same as the constitutional debt limit. It's 1.5% of assessed value. And the total debt is 2.5%. So that's half of what the constitutional limits are. However, by voter approval, you can increase it by 2.5% for water and sewer, and another 2.5% for open space parks and economic development facilities for a total of 7.5%. That is the total debt. We, at this point, have 2.5% is our total debt limit. 2.5%. 1.5% of that is non-voted debt. Okay, does that make sense? Because you're going to need this in the next few slides. 2.5% of assessed value is our total debt limit.
And
all right.
1% is?
1.5% is the non-voted portion. So that leaves 1% for voted. But if you haven't used your non-voted, let's say you haven't used any non-voted, your voted can be up to 2.5%, the limit. So it's anywhere in that range for your voted, but your non-voted, absolutely 1.5%. Okay? Following me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, revenue bonds, they're not subject to any limits. They're not subject to the constitutional or the statutory, because remember, those are paid by ratepayers, or they're not by the taxes. So this is like our enterprise funds, all the water, sewer, storm. So there are no debt limits. Obviously, there are limits. You're not going to have people paying $200 for a gallon of water. So you do have to look at that there are those limits, but there are no constitutional or statutory limits. LIDs are also not subject to constitutional or statutory limits because they're paid by property owners. They're assessed. The property owners are assessed, and so there are no limits on that. Okay? All right. You guys got to follow me on this one. So your assessed value, let's see if I can, where can I go? Can I get this up there, Kevin?
This.
Where? No, I mean
mouse. Oh, yeah, go over there.
Okay, here we go. So City of Ferndale's assessed value is right here. It's $1.5 billion, and that is from the Whatcom County assessors. We get that every year. It's a changed number every year. So I just want to go back to this. Here's what I was talking about. We have a total debt capacity of 2.5% of the assessed value. And non-voted debt maximum is 1.5% of assessed value. So then the voter approved debt is 1%. But if you only have 0.5% of non-voted debt, you can have 2% of voter approved. And any combination, but this has to be a limit of 1.5 or below. So having said that, okay, overall debt limit is, again, 2.5% of our assessed value. And that calculation is $39 million. So here's the calculation right there. Our current debt, if you look at the debt schedule, you will see our debt balance right now is is on line 17. It's the 7.7 million. You see that on your... So that is our current debt right here, which is 0.48% of our assessed value. Now remember, we have to stay below 2.5%, and we're at 0.48%. So that's pretty good. Okay, you're following me, right? Okay. So then we have a total remaining debt capacity. That means this is what we still can acquire in debt. And that's 32 million. That means our overall debt limit minus what we currently have is our debt capacity. So overall debt minus current debt. Okay? So then we go to the remaining that can be used as non-voted debt. Remember, non-voted debt is 1.5%. And we have currently non-voted debt, we have 7.4. So these two, voted debt, non-voted debt and voted debt, total this current debt. But only a portion of it is non-voted. Okay? You following me? So you take the assessed value time, and I'll go over here because we have a maximum of 1.5% non-voted debt, and you take the 0.47% minus that, and you have left over a 1.0%. You multiply that by the assessed value, and this is our remaining non-voted debt. I know that's a lot. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, you guys are good. All right. So then I just did a graph. It's basically here's our non-voted debt. This portion is our voted debt, and we have all of this remaining. Having said that, the assessed value is based on our taxable, you know, property, what we can tax based on our assessed value. Now remember, we have a bank capacity of approximately 1.3%. That assessed value includes that bank capacity. So if we took all the bank capacity, that is what is our remaining debt. Does that make sense? Because we really should have that in our tax. If you have a question, please ask it.
So I think wrap it up there. And I'm thinking
I've got one more slide. I'll wrap it up.
Thank you.
So we have our wastewater treatment plant funding. We will be doing the construction of it. It's approximately $26 million. And, of course, that number is approximate. That can change with the bids. We have secured funding from the Department of Ecology of $13 million, and we will be securing additional funding of $12.9 million. And we will be deciding on that in the coming months.
Very good. So we're at the top of the hour, and I want to announce that this presentation will be online. It will be linked on the front homepage of the city for the community, for anybody else to take a look at. And also on our finance website. Having said that, I'm going to bring the work session to an end, and let's allow council like a 3-minute break. Just 3 minutes. We're going to start the council meeting in 3 minutes.